You have your Bibles and you want to turn there tonight, you probably know the verse of Scripture. I hope that you've committed it to memory. If you haven't, then it would be a good verse to commit to memory. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. I'd like for us in just a little while to come around the altar and pray for the meeting. And pray for Brother Jones, traveling mercies. He wasn't sure, but he didn't get to bring his wife the last time. And this time, he said he would love to bring his wife to meet the folk here. And so I'm not sure if she'll get to make it or not, but she may get to make it a couple of days. Pray. Also pray for the churches. Rogersville Baptist Temple will be coming tomorrow night, and I'm not sure if they'll have the adult choir and the youth choir. They just have to go with whatever they can get together, but they'll be here singing tomorrow night. I ran into Brother Brad Pridmore a while ago and his wife Jamitha and Lily and I think Micaiah is the boy's name, and they're excited about being here. Brother Brad won't get to be here, but his wife will. And then Tuesday evening, Sister Patsy Perry and her daughters, I haven't learned their names yet, but they'll be here, Lord willing, singing. And I'll tell you what, they sang up at Brother Eddie's church the other night, and boy, did God use them, amen. Didn't have an instrument of any kind. I think they sung four or five songs, and the Lord really, really blessed, amen. I heard a song up there, I can't even remember it now, but one I'd never heard before. Boy, it blessed my heart. It blessed my heart, amen. I like songs that's got God on them, don't you? Amen. And then Wednesday night, Brother Ralph will be leading our choir, and our choir will be here Wednesday night singing. I never like to ask anybody to come on a Wednesday night, but our folks will be singing specials. I think Brother Joe's going to sing Wednesday night. And if God puts something on somebody else's heart, that would be all right too. Amen. But Wednesday night, it would be our people. And then Thursday night, Brother Eddie Crusenberry is going to come and bring the folks from Calvary Bible down from Bristol. And then Friday night, the True Faith Quartet will be with us and singing. They've been in this area a long time. The Lord's blessed their ministry. I think Brother Ed will have to be out of town, but they got another bass singer that lined up. They're going to come and sing Friday night, and then Brother Jones will preach every night. How many remembers Brother Jones from last year? Boy, he was a blessing, and I believe he'll be a blessing again this year. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I talked about committing it to memory. I'll try to quote it. Watch me mess it up. Amen. But don't hurt to try, does it? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, I'm just glad you're one of them. I'm glad I'm one of his people. I don't belong to myself. Don't belong to the devil. I belong to the Lord. Amen. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Did I get it right? I'm not looking. I mean, did it close anyway? Amen. I want to speak to us tonight out of that for just a little while and challenge our hearts concerning revival. There's a good number here tonight. I know some are with family, and that's all right. Amen. Some call off their Sunday night service on Easter and give the families a break, and that's all right too. But we do that once a year on homecoming, and we may not do that this year. We're going to be starting revival that morning with Brother Mitchell and Brother Brian. Since you come up with that wonderful idea of four lines, we know it was Kim's idea. You just brought it to us. Amen. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But it doesn't take near as long. I mean, that first year, we were 4 o'clock getting cleaned up. And last year, we were like 2 o'clock. We were cleaned up and ready to go home. And so we got Brother Mitchell that morning, the third Sunday in August, and we're going right into revival on Monday night. So we may just rope Brother Mitchell on Sunday night and bring him right on back in too. Amen. We'll just see how the Lord leads. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here tonight with this Bible open and, Lord, in front of these dear folk. I pray, Father, tonight that you would encourage our hearts from the Scripture. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us to know tonight that, Lord, you're still on the throne and you're still interested in revival. Lord, it could be just a series of meetings where we come in and go out the same way we came and be the same at the end of the week that we were at the beginning of the week. Lord, we pray that that would not be the case. Lord, we need you to work in our hearts and in our lives, work in our homes, work in our church, work in our community, and help us, our Father, that we might be the help that we need to be to others. Lord, I pray tonight you'd bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to turn over there now. I hadn't turned to Chronicles yet, but the Lord just reminded me of something. I just want to magnify for a few moments tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to read a verse or two in front of that. I don't remember exactly how that goes. There it is. Look in verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night. Did you read that this morning, brother? Did you read? You read something about Solomon this morning, didn't you? Several passages. You said he appeared to him twice, I believe. All right, there we go. And said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, this is the prelude to verse 14, if my people, how many believes, at least to a degree, the heavens seem to have been shut up in our land? Amen. Help me now tonight. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the Lord open the heavens. I'd like to see it one more time. Amen. An old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Amen. Where hearts were stirred and people wanted to get right with God and people wanted to serve the Lord with gladness. And so the Lord has given Solomon these instructions. He said, If I were to shut up the heaven, he said, if you'll just come, my people will come and humble themselves and pray. I'm going to give you five things tonight the Lord spoke to my heart. I'll give them to you quickly that we need, I believe, to have a wonderful meeting and a wonderful revival in our hearts and in our homes and in the house of God. Number one, we need humility. If you ever want the Lord to show up, he's not going to show up where there's a bunch of pride. He's not going to show up where folk are like they were in Laodicea, that where they say, well, we're rich and we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. Amen. They were a proud bunch. But if we'll humble ourselves, amen, under the mighty hand of God and have some humility about us, I believe God will help us. The Bible said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And the Bible said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Jesus said in Matthew 18, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 23:12, he said, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Listen to James, and I'm done here. James 4:6. The Bible said, but he giveth more grace. How many could use a little more grace? Amen. The Bible said, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. I believe that's a key in revival, that we would humble ourselves, that we would say, oh God, I can't help what somebody else does, but Lord, I need you to do something for me. Amen. I need you to help me along the way. We need humility and we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The second thing I see here, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we need help. We need help. You say, preacher, do you need help? Why, you shouldn't have to be around me 30 seconds to know that I need help. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord said, this is right after he made man. He said, it's not good that a man should be alone. He said, I'll make a help meet for him. So God made a man. The first thing he said, that man needs help. That man needs somebody to help him. Amen. I tell you, this preacher needs help. Every home in our church needs help. Our community needs help. And God has the help that we need. That's what prayer and seeking his face is about. It's saying, Lord, we don't have it all figured out. We need some help. Listen to what the Bible said concerning help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many believes that tonight? In Psalm 121 and verse 1 and 2, the psalmist wrote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And you might think right there, if you stop right there, you might think, well, what in the world is the psalmist talking about? What kind of help are you going to get out of that hill? No, what it is when you look at that hill, you realize who made the hill. Amen. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And it doesn't matter what we need done. If we look at the whole creation and realize our God's the one that did it, then surely he can provide the help that we need in whatever area we need it in. The Bible said in Psalm 124 and verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. How many understands that there are times when the problems overwhelm us? Amen. But you know, we need that little song. There was a little song years ago I heard the children sing, God is bigger than any problem that you can or cannot see. He's bigger than that. Amen. He can handle that. So we need humility and we need help. This third thing is hard to come by. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the pew. We need honesty. The Word of God said, turn from their wicked ways. I'll tell you, listen, in my life, it's not time to shine a halo. Amen. I still need to be honest before God if I'm going to get the help that I need from God. Amen. And here, the Word of God, it's not talking about a bunch of barroom folks, amen, or a bunch of prostitutes or a bunch of sodomites out in the world somewhere. No, this is talking to God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We need to be honest. How many believes the woman at the well got help? You want me to tell you why she got help? She was honest. Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, well, in that thou saidest truly. You've had five, and the one you got now is not your own. I tell you, one little old conversation with Jesus, and she knew that he knew everything about her. How many can remember when that dawned on you in your life? Hallelujah. Hey, conviction came. You knew that he knew everything about you. And you know who gets help? People that get honest. Say, Lord, you're right. I am the sinner. And you're right. You are the Savior. And even in God's people, there needs to be help when we get honest before him concerning our life and concerning those things in our life that are not pleasing to him and those things that should be in our lives that would please him that are absent. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Word of God said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I believe with all of my heart we need honesty. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, and chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Think about that for just a moment. Tell me something tonight. What can we hide from him? What can we hide from him? What can we hide from him? I made a mistake in rearing my children. I'm confessing that to you. I wanted my children to fear daddy. I did. Amen. I wanted to know they had a killing coming. Amen. If they got in trouble. Amen. But you know what? Daddy couldn't go everywhere with them. And I didn't learn till later on in life what I should have taught them was to fear God. Because God was looking at everything, seeing everything, hearing everything. Amen, amen, amen. We're naked and open. We can't hide anything from Him. I don't know about you, but I believe when real revival comes, God's people begin to get honest. They begin to get honest with God. A couple of more things and I'm done tonight. We need number four. The Bible said here in verse number 14, then I will hear, then will I hear from heaven. I want to give this two ways. The Bible's given it this way, that God will hear us from heaven. He will hear us. That's what this verse is saying. Amen. But can I tell you something? When from heaven God's hearing us, then we from heaven will hear Him. How many believes that? Amen. How many believes we need to hear from heaven? Amen. We need to hear from heaven. And I believe one of the reasons we don't hear from heaven any more than we hear from heaven is because heaven doesn't hear any more from us. The Bible said you have not because you ask not. In Psalm 20 and verse number 6, the Bible said, now know I the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. We need heaven to hear us, and we need to hear from heaven. How many of you all have been on this journey long enough to know that every time we pray, heaven doesn't hear us? How many knows that? I didn't say you, I said we. Every time we pray, you say, preacher, you don't have any Bible for that. How about this? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How many's ever tried to pray knowing there was something there that needed to be dealt with? Amen. Whether it was envy, whether it was strife, it doesn't matter what it is. Amen. Whether it's jealousy, it doesn't matter what it is. Amen. Unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is. I tell you what, isn't that wonderful when that's taken care of and the prayer bells ring heaven again? Amen. And you know that the God of heaven heard when you talk to Him. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. By the way, I believe it's the closest thing to when you first got saved. Amen. When a saint of God gets right with the Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Then I'll give you this, and I'm done tonight. We need healing. Look, notice what the Bible said here. It said, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You know, can I be honest with you for a moment? I'm not sure America wants to be healed. I'm not sure America wants to be forgiven. As a matter of fact, I believe nationally we're so blind we don't even know that we need to be forgiven. But I tell you what, that doesn't have to hinder us from having revival around here. That doesn't have to hinder us from having revival in our heart. And in our home and in the house of God here at Bible Way, amen. We need a healing. We need a healing. And by the way, I'm just going to say this in a general way. Some of you know what I'm talking about. God's been doing some healing. Amen. And I believe He's going to do some more. Amen. I want the Lord to do that. Don't you? Amen. Isaiah 53, verse number 5. Said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of His peace, our peace, was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. I'll tell you tonight, Calvary will take care of a whole lot. Amen. And we need a healing. The Bible said in Jeremiah 6 and verse number 14, listen to me carefully tonight. God repeated this. I didn't realize this till I looked it up. He said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Listen to verse 11 of chapter 8. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I'm going to make a statement tonight. This goes for a nation. This goes for an individual. I believe Bloomingdale is full of people. I believe if we could open up hearts this morning, even in the crowd that was here this morning, that there are many. They will tell you with their mouth that they're saved, that they've been born again. They're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. No peace in the heart. Amen. And I believe that, you know, I'm not trying to preach politics tonight, but I believe to make a deal with Iran, you might as well make one with the devil. They're saying peace, peace. And I tell you, there is no peace about a people that wants to destroy the apple of God's eye. There is no peace with that outfit. They've never known peace. All they want to do is kill and destroy and lie and steal. That sounds to me like they have a different father than we have. Jesus said, you have your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. I'll tell you tonight, we need healing. We need healing. In Malachi chapter 4, I thought about this last night as the Lord was speaking to my heart about this message. In Malachi chapter, excuse me, that was this morning, early this morning. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2, it said, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, that's S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves. I'll tell you tonight, where our peace comes from is realizing that the Son of Righteousness is fixing to appear, amen, with healing in his wings. And when he says peace, you can mark this down. There'll be peace. Amen. I didn't understand it for many years. I just didn't understand. He rules in the millennium with a rod of iron. And I didn't understand the necessity of that. Whenever the child can play on the hole of an asp, and whenever the ox and the lion and all that and the lamb get along, and I didn't understand the necessity of that. But if you come to the end of the 1,000 years, when the devil is loosed out of the bottomless pit and he goes out deceiving and to deceive and gathers again an army to come up against God, what that means is that there are at least some in the millennial reign that are not peaceful because they want to be, but they're peaceful because they have to be. Jesus is ruling with a rod of iron, amen? And they rebel the last time and are cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, tonight the Lord is coming, and when he comes, there'll be peace. Listen to what the Bible said in Revelation 22 and 2 about the healing. In the midst of the street of it, this is talking about that city of God. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm going to tell you something right now. There will be a healing one day of the nations. Amen. But the United Nations is not going to bring it. Say amen. The Lord Jesus himself. You say, preacher, Do you believe we can have revival? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe God can show up. I believe He wants to show up. I believe He wants to help. He wants to heal. If we'll humble ourselves, it's until Him what the Lord might do. But I was thinking about this. What are the enemies of revival in this verse of Scripture? Listen to this list. I think it'll help us. Number one, pride would be an enemy of revival. Number two, prayerlessness would be an enemy of revival. Number three, misplaced priorities. He said, seek my face. That's not something you do by accident or when you have time. That's something like goes along with Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Pride will kill a revival. Prayerlessness would kill a revival. Misplaced priorities would kill a revival. I believe if we would get our hearts humble before God and we'll pray and we'll make the meeting a priority. Amen. That doesn't mean, as Brother Brian said, listen, I know not from experience, extent of plant work was a furniture factory. I made it 1 week, 2 days, till dinner time the third day. And I walked. That's all I know about plant work, and that's all I want to know about it. Amen. I don't ever want to go back in a plant. But I know that men and women do work. And I know that schedules hinder. You didn't have a choice in that. But I know this. If there's not something, old timers used to call it this, providentially hindering us from being here, God will bless us if we make it a priority to be in the house of God. I'm thankful tonight. I was joking a little bit about the crowd this morning being bigger tonight. But you look around how many people are in the house of God on a Sunday night. I'm thankful tonight for every one of you that are here. Let's pray. Brother John and I, he spoke with a lady that was here during Brother Fred's funeral. And she asked him, I think, to visit with some boys. And I didn't even know that the young man that was kneeling in the altar this morning was the young man that was in the bed when we visited over there. We visited with his uncle. And his uncle promised us that he would either come to church here or go with his mama over to Oak Glen. And he went with his mama over to Oak Glen. I say glory to God, people. If we'll just pray, we'll just beg God to work on hearts, amen, work on lives, I believe God will do exactly that, amen. How many is excited about the meeting? I am. I'm looking forward to it. Let's come in the altar tonight. Get something specific, someone specific on your heart, somebody you could invite, somebody that needs that help, and ask God tonight. Amen, to help them. Ask God tonight to work in their hearts and in their lives. Let's come around the altar and pray tonight. Pray for the meeting. Pray for Brother Jones. Pray for the pastor. Pray for these choirs and these folks that will be coming to sing. Pray for those that are lost, that need the Lord. Amen, in this generation. Let's just pray God will give us a good meeting. Amen, this week. He said if we would humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, we'd hear from heaven. Amen.